We're doing the Drashot Aran. We're up to the third speech, page Memvav in the Shalem edition, Kuf Chaf Zayin in the Moseder of Cook edition. The Ran had explained that the Torah wanted us to understand the concept that there are forces beyond the force of nature. And this was a very important point, and that's why the Torah gave us within our first mitzvah an understanding of this concept. And the miracles that we witnessed in Egypt were really there to help us understand this concept, that we can come to terms with this concept. We said this is a concept that seems antithetical to our perception of the world. The way we view the world seems like, hey, you take medicine, you're healed. No questions asked. Nature seems to run the world, and Hashem wanted us to understand that there are forces beyond the force of nature, and that Hashem made the world in a way that when we live on a certain level spiritually, that will affect our physical lives. And we said that's really not the way the world seems to function, but that's why Hashem made all these miracles to illustrate that point. Because when it comes to belief in the Torah, that only happened at Sinai. So what was the necessity to make all the other miracles before Sinai, all the miracles in Egypt? That was to get this point across. So Hashem came and told us at the very beginning of the Torah, on the first mitzvah, Hashem said, you do my mitzvah. You bring the paschal offering the way I told you. You put the blood around the doorpost the way I told you. And then you won't die. There will be a plague in Egypt. And you guys will be above that natural plague. The miracle, as we pointed out, according to the Ran, the miracle was in the fact that the Jews did not die. But Hashem made a condition and said, you will live when you perform my mitzvah of bringing the Korban Pesach and putting the blood around the doorpost on the condition that on the condition that you don't leave your homes till the morning. Our sages explained, our sages taught about this pasuk, once God gives permission to the destructive angel to harm, then the angel does not discern between the righteous or the wicked. How does that work? We just said you do a mitzvah, you'll be saved. And then we say, yeah, but once the angel is out there killing, then he doesn't discern between whether you deserve it or don't deserve it. That seems to be a contradiction to the concept we just said. Kavanatam zal bazeh shnei shorashim. Here our sages taught us two fundamental points in Judaism. Ha'echad, the first point is, Shashem yitbarach lo yishane tamid teva mtziut. God never changes the laws of nature. Wow, bombshell. We're in Egypt. Ten plagues, we think they're supernatural, they're miracles. Comes the Ran and says, well, you have to understand they worked within nature. God keeps the world running within the laws of nature, unless there's an exceptional need. Right, the Jews are standing at the sea, and then for whatever reason the sea has to split. There are exceptions, but ordinarily God does not change the laws of nature. And the second concept is ki ladvarim kulam sibot klaliot lo chelkiyot. When Hashem runs the world, Hashem does it in a general way. If Hashem wants to punish the firstborns of the Egyptians, for example, Hashem makes a plague that hits all firstborn Egyptians. Hashem doesn't come down and start saying, okay, you zap, you zap. Doesn't work that way. Hashem put down something that would harm all firstborn. Ven advarim magim leishim Hashem itbarach bezulat emtza'i. And Hashem doesn't directly affect an individual, but rather Hashem has his emissaries, so to speak. Hashem doesn't personally come and zap people, but rather Hashem has, so to speak, an intermediary. Hashem uses tools within nature, tools within the world. Don't expect that a person sins, so that's it. Lightning comes down, God says, I hate you. Boom. Dead. No, it's not how it works. Ki'ilu ayakin. Because if God were really looking at each individual and saying this firstborn should die and that firstborn should die, then there'd be no room to say that the righteous would die with the wicked. Chazal say when God punishes, so then the second the punishment is in the air, so to speak, then the righteous could die together with the wicked. That seems to indicate a concept that's a little foreign to us. Wait a second, if there's hashgachat paratit, if every person is being watched individually, why should that be so? So he says, but we have to understand that God works in a more general way. If the city deserves a plague, there will be a plague in the city. And if a person is righteous, he better leave that city. He shouldn't say, well, I'm righteous, I could stick around here, I'll be okay. And that's what King Solomon taught us in his wisdom. Beuro, what Shlomo HaMelech was saying, Im tire bamdina oshek rash. If you're in the city and you see that the poor are being oppressed, they're being treated unfairly, and a person who's a good person, he's being harmed by the justice system. Sound familiar, guys? That's not the way you think life would work for a guy who's a good guy. He's doing everything right. You'd think things should work out right for him, right? When you see a person who is being robbed of justice, don't stand and look at that, says King Solomon, and wonder, how could God want this to happen? God, I don't understand. How come people are being robbed of their rights? Don't think that way. Because if the way God ran the world was that every individual was given his own justice, hey, God decided for each person exactly what he deserves. Hayaze hateima nofel. Then you would have room for this question. Aval sibot hamtziut einan ken. But God doesn't work that way in our world. Ki kol inyanam bihishtalshelut siba gavoa me'al gavoa u'gvohim. The way God runs the world, Hashem, so to speak, works from up above. And things have a way of matriculating down here. So Hashem doesn't come down and say, so-and-so deserves to have it good, he'll be okay. So-and-so deserves to have bad, it's not going to work out for him. Hashem says, there's going to be economic decline. And now everyone's, so to speak, stewing. Hashem doesn't come and say, okay, his business has to go bad. No, Hashem has a more general way of doing things. If God had personally decreed, so to speak, on each firstborn that he should die, so then Hashem wouldn't have had to change nature in order to save the firstborn Jews, because Hashem was just decreeing he should die and he should die and he should die. You don't need Hashem to say, I will save you. You Jews won't die. When Hashem says that, what Hashem is saying is, I will bring down a form of death on firstborns in the world. I will make something natural, as the Ran will explain, something natural that will cause death for all firstborns in Egypt, Jews and non-Jews. Because Hashem doesn't come down and say, okay, you die, you die, you die. Hashem doesn't zap each person individually. Hashem doesn't judge each person individually. But rather, Hashem says, okay, the decision was that in Egypt the firstborn will die, so a plague comes down on the Egyptians. Now, what's going to be with the Jews? You know, if there's some kind of plague where firstborns die, so then everyone should be harmed by it. Then Hashem says, okay, now I'm going to do a miracle. Now I'm going to do something unnatural, and I will save you. V'lachen amar lehem, skipped a line, sorry. Uviyot asibot klaliyot yatzir shishtane teva amtziyut bishvil kol echad de'echad. And being that the way Hashem runs the world is in a more general way, Hashem will bring down an epidemic that will suddenly kill all the firstborns in Egypt. So then what Hashem has to do is make a miracle to save each Jew. The miracle is not in the Egyptians dying. And Hashem didn't want to change the laws of nature so that the Egyptians, they died, the Jews, they live, and then Hashem has to do an individual miracle for each Jew to save him. So that's why Hashem said, you will not leave your homes till the morning, Hashem said. So here, there's a long discussion. What did was the Ran mean here, right? There's different discussion among the commentaries. One understanding is that Hashem made some kind of virus that was in the air. And if they stayed inside, then Hashem made it that it wouldn't harm them. The question is, the Ran seems to be saying two conflicting concepts. On the one hand, he's saying, keep the mitzvah. And then Hashem was showing us, if you keep the mitzvah, you'll be above nature. And then you won't be harmed by nature. On the other hand, he's saying, but Hashem doesn't want to interfere on a natural level with each person. When Hashem does things, he does things in a more natural way, in a more general way, without dealing with each individual and the implications to each individual. And that's why Hashem said, okay, stay in your houses. To me, it's not such a contradiction. I think both concepts work well together. Hashem says, I will take care of you. Sometimes a miracle is not just a miracle because it's unnatural, but because of the timing, of the way in which it happens. You know, if Hashem tells the Jewish people, at exactly midnight, there's going to be this virus in the air. You guys stay inside till the morning and nothing bad will happen to you. So I don't know that we would say that's not a miracle. You know, if we could explain why at a specific moment all the seas in the world had to split. But that happens to be the moment when the Jews are standing by the Yam Suf. And it happens to be the moment when the Egyptians are going to catch up to them. Would that really bother us if we could figure out, based on all the constellations, why at that moment the sea has to split, and exactly when the Egyptians are there, the sea has to cave in on them? Is that so terrible? Okay, is that less of a miracle if Hashem set up the whole world to work in a certain way so that naturally this is what would happen? The Rambam seems to go with that concept, that there's a, that the miracle is about when it happens, not how it happens. The Rambam goes with that, that the Hashem does things through nature, and the miracle is about the timing. Yes?
So, I guess I don't really see in the situation if it's a natural protection against this natural virus, that what would have been the difference between the Egyptians and the Jews, because, I don't know how the Egyptians live, but are they going to be wandering, or are all the firstborn of Egypt going to be wandering around outside their houses at midnight? I mean, and also all the cattle, I mean, if they aren't going to be in any closed structures, or...
Right.
It seems like, you read the story and you see it's Hashem directly getting involved, that he's telling his angel of death, you see this house that has this flood, that it's just on a few little places, that when it stops, something like a virus, and especially in the houses back then that were completely, they were pretty, they weren't super enclosed, I don't think.
Right.
And so Hashem's telling him, every time you see this house, don't afflict it. When you see any house that doesn't have this blood on it, you know, go in and strike down anybody that's the first one. Or you could see that it's a natural virus, but Hashem is saying, is specifically protecting every single house supernaturally against it that has this flood, because I don't see naturally any how the bias would come.
So let's analyze this from a few points. You know, I used the word virus. I seem to remember, I think it's the Ran that says somewhere within his speeches that Hashem made some kind of virus or some kind of ailment that would affect those who had to contend with opening the womb. meaning the ones that were, that had to fend and be born through that difficulty. There is an element of weakness that they're afflicted with that we don't know. That wouldn't be that in general it makes no difference in all of their life. It's not that you see the firstborns are weaker than others, but there's one small point where if this specific type of virus comes or whatever we'll call it, they could be hurt by it. Is it so far-fetched to say that the blood from a lamb is the antidote to that? Let's just say. I'm saying if there's a virus in the air, is it so far-fetched to say that if God invents a virus that will only affect, and we've never heard of such a virus again, right? So you have a six-hour period where there's this virus in the air that only affects those people who had to be firstborn, and if God's going to make this natural virus, like the Ran wants to say, so then is it so far-fetched to say that God also made it that lamb's blood is the antidote, that it doesn't come through the air into houses where you have lamb's blood around the doorpost? I'm just saying, for example.
It's not the lamb's blood isn't sealing them off.
I agree, right. It's not, and then what about the windows? Doesn't say their windows have to be sealed. I agree. I don't know how to work out this Ran. And the Ran also, you know, he's touching on a point where we have to ask ourselves, wait a second. So what's he saying? Like, what about Ashgacha Pratit? How far is he taking this? You know, there are opinions among the Rishonim. How far does God do Ashgacha Pratit? What's he going to say? When Avraham Avinu was thrown into the furnace, he didn't walk out alive. Right? It's obviously he holds there are people and there are times when Hashem does give Ashgacha Pratit, but maybe he's going like the Rambam, that's the exception in the situations where Hashem is going to actually intervene and change nature on behalf of a certain person. That's the exception. That's not the rule. And even in the situation of the plagues, Hashem tried to do it within the laws of nature. We don't understand it. We have a lot of questions because we're thinking in our modern day medical terms of virus. And if it's a virus in the air, then it shouldn't really make a difference if your window's open or your door's open, right? The doors have to be sealed. Why don't viruses enter through the window, right? So to us, this doesn't really make sense. I don't know. I don't have an understanding. You know, I could hypothesize, but I don't know.
So the blood on the door wasn't just any blood. It had to be from the Korban Pesach. Right. The rules had to be followed. I'm sure if they just slaughtered an animal, you know, they didn't follow the rules of the Korban Pesach. They had to be outside. They had to be roasted and all these other things. It wouldn't help, obviously.
We could say even more than that. The Ran himself pointed that out. The Ran's point until now was that the Korban Pesach is here to show us that if you keep a mitzvah, then nature won't hurt you. So in the end he says, but we have to understand here that the way Hashem works nature is a more general way. And that Hashem doesn't specifically zap, but Hashem makes a general problem, and then he gives a solution. Okay, so is it supernatural or is it natural? Which one is it? You know, he began by telling us that through keeping mitzvot, you'll be above nature. And now he's saying, okay, but Hashem works through nature to punish. And then what? It was our being saved from the plague, supernatural or natural? Because his whole point, the whole thing he's been developing until now is, you keep mitzvot, then you have to understand that the natural world will revolve around the mitzvot. So we can say a few things to answer the Ran. But here we enter a realm of Netanel Frankenthal, and I'm not necessarily sure it's the Ran. So I'm a little bit concerned. I don't like doing that, you know, giving my own interpretation. I rather pose the question, and we'll each think, and if the Ran doesn't tell me more than he says, you know, I could translate what he says. But to interject my understanding into what he says, I'm not sure that's fair. Because then you'll walk away with that understanding of the Ran, and I don't know if that's right.
You know, the initial difficulty, how can it be, if the virus is general in there, how can you have selectively only the firstborn?
Like, so that we said. We said, I don't remember if it's the Ran or it's another Rishon that writes that Hashem made a virus that, or we use the word virus, but Hashem made some ailment that would specifically affect those that had some kind of weakness because they had to open the womb to come out, to be the first to come out.
Do other Rishonim discuss what the Ran is saying, like challenge it or say, I don't know if there's going to be a dialogue among each other's works and so much.
I don't know of a place where this is referenced. There are commentaries who are discussing different explanations here. At the end of the day, I still have questions. I don't understand how the Ran's beginning works with his end. You know, he started off by saying the mitzvah will save us, and then he goes off to saying its nature. I'm not sure that the two are conflicting, meaning maybe we can say, so here I'm offering my interpretation, but again, for what it's worth, and I'm not sure it's much, but just as we say that Kriyas Yamsuf, the miracle in Kriyas Yamsuf was the timing, possibly, then maybe the miracle in putting the blood on was just that. That in a natural way saves. But the fact that Hashem makes it work through nature doesn't contradict the idea that the mitzvah controls nature. And if we're going to discover that, let's say by putting on tefillin, so this they found out in acupressure that there are points that make you think better, and there's a whole article about how the tefillin exactly sits on places that develop thought. The tefillin are on acupressure, on positive acupressure points. You guys see this article? You could just look it up. It was all over the internet a few years ago. Someone did some research on different acupressure points, and it turns out that the tefillin on the head and on the arm are exactly on certain specific acupressure, positive acupressure points. Fine. Let's say it's true. We don't say that Hashem gave us the mitzvah in order to push acupressure points, right? But that doesn't mean that part of what Hashem built into nature was that certain positive benefit of doing the mitzvah. If today we discover that being circumcised diminishes the chances of getting AIDS by 90%, we don't say that that's why Hashem gave us the mitzvah. But that doesn't preclude that maybe Hashem put into nature this phenomenon as a freebie, so to speak, a positive thing that you get from a mitzvah. And I don't think it precludes saying that Hashem made it that this virus, the antidote for the virus, for whatever reason in the natural world, would be staying indoors and having this blood on the doorpost. I'm not sure it's a contradiction what the Ran said from the beginning to the end. It's just a question of how we work it out then. Okay, but that's my thoughts. The Ran, the Ran said what he said. So, okay, you guys are welcome to look at it some more over Shabbos, see what you come up with. Yeah.
Is there any suggestion being made that there is some natural way to explain the first time? Because I don't see how we could even begin to suggest that that was working within the natural means of the first time.
There was such an attempt in the Rambam's time, and the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, in Igeret Teiman, refers to those people who wanted to explain it that way. I don't think it matters, you know. If we'll find the natural phenomenon as to how it happened, I wouldn't be too bothered.
Right. There should be no attempt. I
don't have to attempt to do it, right. But if other people will discover an explanation, that won't bother me.
Isn't there also some say, communication in the actual Pesukim, that Ruach Kadim, that all night the wind was blowing, that there was some, or it entertains the possibility perhaps?
Yeah. ולכן אמר להם, ואתם לא תצאו איש מפתח ביתו עד בוקר. George, did you want something? No. And that's why Hashem said to them, and you don't leave your homes till the morning. וזה העניין מסיר גם כן ספקות רבות מדברים מרים מלבול ההנהגה. And this should also remove doubt in areas where sometimes people are confused. Is God really running the world? And you look at the world and you see, hey, sometimes there's a plague and everyone dies. You don't see that... Rav Nachman Mibreslov, with all the kameas and all the things he wrote, when there was a plague in his town, he died. You know, so you look at it and you say, wait a second, what's going on here? Well, tells us the Ran, that's what Chazal taught us here. When there's a plague, run, don't stick around. Because sometimes Hashem, when Hashem lets bad things happen, whoever's going to be around is going to be hit, because Hashem makes bad things happen through nature. And if you don't know the way to circumvent nature, then... then any person's in danger. And again, so the question is, how does this work with what we said in the beginning? He began by saying the mitzvah controls nature. Maybe the mitzvah controlling nature doesn't include a situation where nitan reshut lamashchit la'ashchit, meaning there are times when Hashem says, okay, now I want to punish and I'm going to give capacity for destruction to come to the world. So even though the mitzvah in many realms can control nature, that's if you know which mitzvah and when and how, but at the end of the day, the way Hashem runs nature is in a more general way, where Hashem does send certain ailments to the world and a person has to watch himself from those ailments. Again, this needs work. You know, the Ran said something very clear, but I don't have clarity in what the Ran said. Yes? Okay. And all these important concepts are alluded to in this mitzvah. This is the first mitzvah the Jews were commanded with. And this mitzvah was said, according to our sages, it was said on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And because this day is so special, it's the day of the beginning of the Torah, so to speak, this day got 10 crowns, כמו שדרשו בפרק רבי עקיבא, like the Talmud explains in Tractate Shabbos, the chapter called Rabbi Akiva. ויהי בחודש הראשון בשנה השנית באחד לחודש הוקם המשכן, ותנה אותו היום נטל 10 התורות. Our sages said on the verse that describes this first day of the month of Nisan, so we have on tradition that that day was crowned with 10 crowns, that it was the inauguration of many things. It was the beginning of creation. It was the beginning of the Nisim sacrifices. It was the first day the Kohanim did service. It was the first day of service in the temple. It was the first day a fire came down from heaven. It was the first day they ate holy food of Kachim. It was the first day that the Shechina came down and rested in our midst in the Mishkan. It was the first day that the Jewish people were blessed Birchas Kohanim. It was the first day that we were prohibited to bring bamos, to bring sacrifices on a private altar. And it is the first of the months. So that's the 10 crowns the Gemara says that they received. And it is in this time, in the month of Nisan, that we anticipate the future redemption. There is an argument in the Talmud in Rosh Hashanah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Will the redemption come in Nisan or Tishrei? And they both also disagreed as to whether the world was created in Nisan or Tishrei. They both agree that at the same time that the world was created, corresponding to that time, there will be the future redemption. Meaning the opinion that says, Rabbi Eliezer, that says it was all in Tishrei. So in Tishrei the world was created, and Tishrei is when the redemption will come. Rabbi Yeshua says the world was created in Nisan, and in Nisan the Redeemer will come. Being that the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, as we discussed many months ago, that the world was created in Nisan, like the Talmud over there says, when we work out the seasons and the constellations, we evaluate like Rabbi Yoshua, meaning the halachic ruling is like Rabbi Yoshua. That's why he discussed earlier, then why isn't Rosh Hashanah in Nisan? That was his discussion there. Now, we saw that in the beginning of this speech. So then the halacha should also be like Rabbi Yoshua, that the future redemption will be in the month of Nisan. And that's what the singer composed in the song that we say in prayer. In Nisan, they were redeemed. In Nisan, they anticipate redemption. And this goes in line with the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua says in the first chapter of Tractate Rosh Hashanah, in the month of Nisan is when the world was created. In the month of Nisan is when the patriarchs were born. It is in Nisan that they were redeemed. And in Nisan, we anticipate the future redemption. So that brings us to the conclusion of this third speech, with a little bit of turmoil and a little bit of questions left unanswered. And maybe we'll do a quick review of what we saw here. Yes?